So how many of you thought out of the box this week? Oh, gosh, right, that thing. Right, Patty's laughing. It's Patty's birthday this week. Patty wasn't thinking out of the box. Maybe she was, I don't know. Last week, remember, some of you weren't here, a little refresher, I said when, you know, the people had come to Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000, and now we're following up in John's gospel as the Lord is beginning to unpack and explain what that true miracle was about. Certainly wasn't about eating fishes and loaves and having their bellies filled. The people at the time couldn't see the potential that Jesus was offering them. They couldn't see beyond the fact that they were allowing him to feed them and have that their hunger quenched for a time. They couldn't see the possibility and the potential in the Lord Jesus Christ who was in their midst. And so I tried to challenge you, and perhaps maybe some of you did, to think out of the box a little bit, to see where that potential of God's presence in your life can be realized and moved forward. That's okay. You're going to get another chance because God gives you many chances, right? Not just one, not two, not seven, not seven times 70, but many, 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 many chances. So on we go. So we need to be understanding as we're reading these gospel passages from last week, this week, and the next two following weeks, that this is an ongoing dialogue and conversation that's going on. There's no break in this. It just goes from 24, I believe, to 69. Again, broken up into the four pericopes. And so last week, Jesus again says to the folks, you know, don't seek the bread, you know, that satisfies your palate at the time, but seek the true bread that came down from heaven. Then he makes the remark, I am the bread of life. You know, he who comes to me will never hunger, and he who comes to me will never thirst. Well, of course, the people did not get it. So Jesus takes it one step further this morning. And so there again, he's standing. And remember, the people have followed him. The people have come to him. You know, they came after they heard, you know, all of the miracles that were happening. He fed them, and then they followed him to the other side of the lake, which is now where they're having this discourse. So the people have sort of gotten it on one level, on a physical level in terms of being fed and having their appetite satiated. They get it. But now he's going to take them to another level. He's trying to take them further and deeper, if you will. He's trying to unpack the deeper meaning of his words. And they're being a little resistant. And it's understandable. Because remember, this is all post-crucifixion, post-resurrection, or prior to resurrection, prior to the crucifixion. So they have no frame of reference for things like, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection of life, I am him who satisfies all of your needs. You know, come to me and you will have eternal life. But he's teaching them. He's trying to move them to a different place. Now, we all like to be in our places. I notice Gertrude's over there, but usually she's here at 8 o'clock, and Patty and Charlie are there, and Robert's always there, and Don's always there, and Umberto and Amber are always there. We like our place, right? We like our places, and Maria's there, and Esther's either there or there. And we all like our place in life, right? We like to be comfortable. We don't like to be challenged. We don't like to be move out of our, you know, our safe zone, if you will, or our box, if you will. We don't like that. But I had a wonderful dear priest who was a mentor of mine when I was a seminarian for a time at Virginia Seminary in Alexandria, and I served as seminarian at St. John's Church, O Street in Georgetown. And he was the Reverend Edward Lee, who later went on to become the Bishop of Western Michigan. And he was a pip. We would sit and have these long conversations, and he would try to impart, he was ordained 25 plus years, impart some wisdom and knowledge about, you know, pastoral care and things like that. And he always had a phrase that he used, and I shared it with the folks at the Wednesday morning mass. And he would say, you know, God loves you no matter where you're at. God loves you no matter where you're at. Whether you're in a state of grace or you're in a state of sin, you're happy, mad, glad, sad, joyful, unsure, doubtful, whatever, God loves you exactly where you are. Exactly where you are. But, he would say, but he doesn't want you individually or your parish that you pastor to stay in that place. Because God wants something more for each of us and for us corporately. Because God wants us to live into that life that he gives us, as he reminds us in John's gospel, with an abundance of grace, with an abundance of life. He doesn't want you to remain in that place, even though sometimes it seems safe, and that's okay. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing with the people today. He's loving them exactly where they are. He promises them that all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and him who comes to me, I will not cast out. In other words, they came to him. He is bound to be with them. He says, I will not forsake you. I will not walk away. I will not be mad when you say things that I don't agree with. I will be there to love you to the end. This is what my Father has given me to do, and this is what I am doing. That's what God is doing in our lives as well. Sometimes we're just not aware of it. We're not aware of the fact that he's always loving us, always surrounding us with his grace and his mercy. But we're reminded of it again in the gospel this morning. I will not forsake you. I will not cast you out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of whom he sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up at the last day. So if they were Twitter-pating in the last part of the gospel, that's a good word, Twitter-pating. If they were Twitter-pating because of what he said about being the bread of life, and the fact that, you know, they were saying, well, Moses gave us the manna in the wilderness. Jesus said, no, Moses didn't do that. My Father who is in heaven did that. Moses didn't do that. You know, Moses was there. Moses asked. But God the Father did it. God the Father did it. You know, they're all flipping out about that. I'm the bread of life. No, they were. Just imagine what they're thinking now. Just imagine. So he's trying to move them deeper and further into faith. And now he says, I should lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. Again, they have no point of reference, and nor should they, for the resurrection. Of course, we all know what that means, that those of us who die in a state of grace, of course, because we're baptized into Christ and live through him, at the last day we will be raised. That's the hope, that is the promise that Jesus himself made. I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He who believes in me shall come to me, and I will not cast him out. And at the last day, I will raise you up. So now they're Twitter painting because he said he's the bread of life. And now he's saying something about raising people up at the last day. So they now their whole worlds have been turned upside down, right? They're not quite sure what to do with all of that. But then he goes on even further. He says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, a whole new concept, and I will raise him up at the last day. And remember in the gospel last week, they finally said, you know, give us this bread. What must we do to get this bread? And Jesus simply says, believe in God. He's saying the same thing again. He who believes in him should have eternal life, and again, I will raise him up at the last day. So it sounds very repetitive, doesn't it? You know, I am the bread of life. I'll raise you up at the last day. You know, I will give you eternal life. But sometimes we need to hear things, right? Don't we? Charlie, I'm nodding too. Over and over and over again. And sometimes when we're praying, we need to pray over and over and over again until it sinks in, that we understand what God's will is for us at a particular time. That's not because we're resisting God. It's just because, again, we like to stay in our little safe space, and we don't like to move out of it. So God is patient. Remember, I will not cast you out. I will not forsake you. I will never walk away. I'm here with you always. So now, again, they're totally Twitter-pating. I am the bread of life, eternal life, raise you up at the last day. So what's their response? The response is one of indignation, of course. The Jews murmured then and said at him, because he said, I am the bread of life that come down from heaven. They say, who is this person? We know him, right? He is the son of Mary and Joseph. Where did he get all of this? We've heard that before, right? We've heard that in Mark's gospel. Who is this Jesus person? Never mind what they've seen. Never mind what they've heard. Never mind the miracles and possibilities. Never mind the potential. It's that indignation because they want to stay in that safe spot. And they still don't understand that God loves them, who is there present to them. As he's revealing himself, they still don't understand. So he says, Do not murmur among yourselves. He's being loving here. He's not being corrective in a mean way. He says, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, repeating it, just so that they understand and they get it. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except him who is from God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. And he's going to repeat it again. I am the bread of life. Remember this. I am the bread of life. Through me, you have eternal life. With me, you will never be forsaken. I will never cast you out. He's trying to let it sink in through their hearts and their minds and their souls. He says, again, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And then this is the final point, and they're just going to go boom. No, they are. We'll find out next week, but not now. This is the final point. And he says, the bread which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. And the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, again, post-resurrection, post-Last Supper, we know what that means, of course, right? That Jesus gave himself completely and totally on the cross. He died for our sins. And at the Last Supper, he gave himself in the Eucharist to the disciples, later to be the apostles, so that they could share in the Son of Man, in his flesh and in his blood, in the Eucharist and the blood and the wine and the bread. But of course, they have no point of reference. So now, if they were Twitter prating about bread of life, eternal life, raise you up at the last day, and now he's the bread of life that, you know, is his flesh, they're going poof, because they can't get beyond that space that they're in. But Jesus loves them nonetheless, does not forsake them, does not cast them out, but loves them even more. He's telling them that he's willing to give the totality of himself for them, for the world, that they might know the grace of God and the gift of forgiveness. Remember, the people were trying to get it. They didn't, but Jesus was persistent. God loves each of us exactly where we are at. Again, happy, mad, sad, glad, state of grace, state of sin, God loves you. But he doesn't want you to stay there. And he doesn't want you to stay in that spot because he loves you all the more. He wants more for you. Just like Jesus wanted more for the people at that place and time, God wants the same thing for us. More life and abundant life. May we embrace that. May we pray about that. And perhaps maybe by next week, a little bit out of the safe spot, just a tiny little bit, as we move into the understanding of the Eucharist, where Jesus comes to us fully, body, mind, soul, and divinity, in that little wafer and that little wine. In the meantime, think out of the box. And remember, you're loved exactly where you're at, but there's another place to be, and God wants you there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.